to do that. That's kind of my style. So I'm going to read basically Ruth 1, and I'm going to speed read through the first chapter. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along. I'm going to paraphrase some parts of it. So this was a time before there were kings, and before that time they were called the time of the judges for Israel. And during the time of the judges, there was a famine. So there wasn't a lot of food growing, and so this guy, his name is Elimelech, and his wife Naomi, they decided, we're going to leave Bethlehem, their hometown, and move to a neighboring country. And so they moved to the country of Moab, and they went there, and they lived their lives for a number of years there. They lived there long enough that both their sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they got married to Moabite women. Score. One was named Ruth, and the other one's name was Orpah. So time passed. Life was pretty good, but then tragedy struck. Not only Elimelech, he dies. But not only him, his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, die as well. And so we got the three men, they're dead. So this leaves Naomi and her two daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, to fend for themselves. So now I'm going to actually read from the text, because I paraphrased the earlier parts. Okay, so Naomi decides she's going to go back home to Bethlehem. And her and her two daughters-in-law are on this road. So I'm going to read from verse 6. Then she, Naomi, started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law. They went on their way back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you in the house of your husband." She then kissed them, and they wept. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back. Go your own way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you wait until they have grown up? Would you refrain from marrying? No. It has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." They wept aloud. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung on to her. And Naomi said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and back to her gods. Return after her." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you will go, I will go. Where you will lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, even if death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, Naomi and Ruth. And the other women in the town said, "Is this Naomi?" And Naomi replied, "Call me Naomi no longer. Call me Mara, or bitter. For the Lord Almighty has dealt bitterly with me." I'm just going to stop there and start reading my script. So I read the focus verses was that part where Ruth is talking in verse 16 to 18. And this part of Ruth's story refers more to a bit of a conversion story. You know, Ruth comes from a land that did not know God, and then she's like, you know, but I will follow your God, and I will be one of you. I will be an Israelite, is basically what Ruth is saying in that oath. Yeah. But I feel that even though this story is more of a conversion story, this short passage can be applicable to us as followers of Christ, and of course, to our yearly theme, our year theme of that we are sent. Whether you're in short-term missions or local mission, or short-term missions abroad or local missions, we all know that we are always on missions. With that being the case, we must always remember that missions is serious business. As we believe we bear the message of truth in Jesus Christ, there must be this awareness that, you know, that there's a heavy cost to what we do. Now, I'm going to talk about the book of Ruth as a book a little bit. And from a stylistic perspective, the book of Ruth is kind of like a four-act play. If any of you are familiar with Greek theater, there's two kinds of plays in Greek theater. We have what is referred to as tragedies. And tragedies are the type of plays that you have a story, and the story starts out really, really good. But then as the story progresses, things only get worse, and it usually ends pretty badly, hence the name tragedy. Popular examples of a tragedy would be Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. You know, the story starts out with these two young people. They basically have love at first sight, but at the end of the play, both of them and a couple other people, they die. So, you know, love story not really ends well. A popular version is the 1990s movie, The Titanic. That's a tragedy. You know, the story starts out really well. The Titanic sets sails and then, you know, gets hit by an iceberg, and then Leonardo DiCaprio's character, Jack, he dies. And then Rose is all like, oh, Jack, oh, so sad. Tragedies strike. A biblical example of a tragedy would be David's story. David starts out as this young kid, you know, that Samuel, the prophet Samuel sees him. He's like, you know, this is going to be the future king of Israel. And then, you know, we go through David's adventures, and he beats up a whole bunch of guys, and one day he does become king. But then you read later in 2 Kings, and things start not going well for him. You know, his sons basically cause a huge civil war, and then David loses most of his kids. And he's just like, oh, terrible, like, oh, just bad. But Ruth, there's another, that's a tragedy. And the other form of Greek play is called a comedy, which is the opposite of a tragedy, where the play will start badly, and then it gets better. And Ruth takes on a more comedy formula. Popular examples of a comedy would be Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream. Or most Disney movies are comedies in that sense. Cinderella, a very popular Disney movie. As you know, Cinderella, who is basically slaving away for her stepmother and her stepsisters, but later she meets her Prince Charming, and things get better. So in Ruth's case, the story starts out pretty badly. Elimelech dies, his sons die, so Naomi and Ruth, they have no one. Because in ancient cultures, it was much more patriarchal. I mean, you could argue that it's still the same way now, where women were strongly disenfranchised, and so if the widows were left on their own, they had no ability to secure themselves with work or whatever. They couldn't take care of themselves. So Naomi decides she's going to go back to Bethlehem, and maybe, just maybe, someone would take pity on her. We approach in the verses just before verse 16 and 8 to 18. Naomi attempts to convince her daughters-in-law to return to their families. And Orpah does leave. She sees that, she sees her life situation. Things are not good. The best option is to go back to my parents' house. There's nothing else for me. So Orpah does go home. However, Ruth decides to stay. And this is a, you know, people ask, well, what's so significant about this? I mean, Ruth is taking a big gamble on this. The major reason being that she is a Moabite woman. Think about that for a moment. She's a Moabite woman going to the land of Judah. And if you guys read, say, like Numbers 21, we actually have the account of Israel's first encounter with the Moabites. And to put it lightly, it doesn't go well. Basically, the Israelites are like, hey, we want to cross through your country. We just, you know, need a place. We just need to take this route that'll make our traveling a little bit shorter. The Moabites are like, no. And then they go to war, and then a whole bunch of people die. So how's that for a first encounter? So because of that, there's this kind of rivalry and hatred between Israel and Moab. So if Ruth, Moabite woman, moves into this land, some people may hold that against her, and they may persecute and hate her just because she's a Moabite. Just gonna skip a bit. But, you know, with Ruth, this passage, we can see that Ruth is really willing to, you know, engage in, take on this new life. A life that is full of risk, the unknown. She has no real sense of security yet. But she's going to go for it anyway. And I did write this little excerpt about how there were funny theories about Ruth and Naomi having a romantic relationship. But that was based on that verse 16 to 18 where Ruth's speech, and I'll read it again. So Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you will go, I will go. Where you will lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where I die, where you die, I will die. Where I will, there I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, even if death parts me from you." That sounds a lot like a marriage vow, if you think about it. And that was how serious Ruth took her dedication to Naomi. It was, you know, I basically give my life to you, was basically what she was saying. And let's see, skip a bit. All right. So with that speech in mind, and I want you guys to think about this, would you be willing to make that kind of commitment with God and the call to ministry? Something I talk about a lot is answering the call. You know, God has called us all as followers to grow in discipleship and as well as minister, spreading the gospel message. But a question we need to ask ourselves is, how committed am I to that? How committed am I to that call? Naomi's speech gives a lot of insight to answer that question. And it should be an all-in kind of thing. You know, ministry is all-in. I'm going all into this. I won't hold back. And you can read through, I put the reference, it's Matthew, I think it's Matthew 10. Scroll up a bit. Matthew 10, 16 to 23. If you read that, Jesus lays out for the disciples, you know, guys, when you preach my name, things are not going to be easy. People are going to persecute you. People are going to hate you because of me. But I'm still calling you to do that. But I hope you know that people are going to hate you for it, is what Jesus tells his disciples. And this is carried on today. I mean, we talk about praying for the Muslim world and that they'll hear the gospel message, but we hear of, you know, certain extremists who kill thousands of Christians just because they're Christians. And, you know, we may not experience that here. You know, we're not getting killed just because we're Christians, but in the city of Vancouver, there's this kind of stigma, you know, oh, you're a Christian. You keep your Christianese over there, your Christian life over there, but don't bring it into my life because I don't want to deal with your beliefs. And so there's this bit of you're different, you're separate, you're not one of us because you're a Christian. That's kind of the attitude that this city has. But does that mean we stop doing ministry? Does that mean we back away? It shouldn't. The thing that made Ruth exemplary is that in spite of the tragedy in her life, I mean, having her husband die, which means all financial security and class security, those things went with him. She doesn't go back to her parents' house. And she doesn't go back to the life she knew, to her gods, as Naomi says, you know, go back. But Ruth doesn't do that. Instead, Ruth takes a step of faith, and she decides to go follow Naomi into this new brave world. She did not start in a place of prestige, but a place of brokenness. So why do we love comedies so much? You watch a comedy movie, we like to watch comedies. I think a reason is that we can easily see ourselves in the place of the protagonist who starts, you know, that chapter of their life, when you watch a comedy, the beginning of the movie. We can see ourselves like the protagonist, where we start with our heads low and that feeling of defeat. We may just come from a bad relationship, or we may come from a job loss, or some circumstance, a death of a family member, anything like that. We may come from those places. The truth of the matter is that the call of ministry may not come from a place where everything is perfect. You know, we don't live a life where it's like, all right, I'm gonna wait till I have my job, I'm gonna wait till I have my marriage, I'm gonna wait till my kids move out after I have kids, I'm gonna wait till I have the finances, I'm gonna wait till... No, that may not be the case. Life may not be perfect when the call of ministry comes. However, Christ takes us in our brokenness and makes us anew. This empowers us to go forth and carry out Christ's commands. So in Ruth's case, it's not like she waited for, well, I would go with you, but let me just check if that's okay with my parents. Let me check if maybe I might be able to get a job back in a Moabite farm or something. Let me check if there are other guys willing to take me and marry me. Ruth doesn't do that. Instead, she takes that step of faith and goes, Naomi, I'm going to follow you. The real question is, are we willing to allow God to enter into our lives and create us anew like God did with Ruth? If you read through the rest of the narrative, which we don't have time for, Ruth, you know, travels with Naomi, goes to Bethlehem, and then she starts working, basically picking up grain threshes, the leftovers, on this farm owned by a guy named Boaz. Eventually, she marries Boaz, and then they become King David's great-grandparents. The fact of the matter is that answering the call to ministry may be difficult, and it may not come at a time that we feel ready for it. We can't always be prepared for that call. God may just call us one day. There are many other examples. Abraham was like that. You know, it's not like Abraham was kind of on the move. He was traveling he was a nomad, which means he didn't really live in one place. He just traveled from place to place and pitched up tents, and they lived there for a while. Then, the animal herds are moving. We got to move again. But God calls him and says, hey, I'm going to take you to a new land, a land that you do not know, but I will show you. Abraham takes that step of faith. Ruth takes that step of faith. The question is, will you take that step of faith?